Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We just put together the outline for the Wobcast today, and at the top of the sheet of paper, I always have the week that is coming up. Nate, it's week 11.
Isn't that crazy?
Already in the NFL season, yes.
Crazy to think about. Oh, well over halfway.
Yeah. It is week 11 right now, so we are down to a 7-game season for your Minnesota Vikings right now. They sit at 5-4. It's 9 total games. There are 16 in the regular season. That means we have 7 games to go. And for the Vikings, that 7-game season begins now. It begins with them tied with the Detroit Lions atop the NFC North at 5 wins and 4 losses, but really just a step behind the Lions in the standings because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. Detroit, of course, beat us in Week 9. So even though we have the same record as Detroit, Detroit gets the edge because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. And the weird part about this game this week for the Vikings and Lions, the Lions play at home to Jacksonville. We play at home to Arizona. Regardless of the outcomes of those games, next week's game between the Vikings and Lions on Thanksgiving Day is for first place. So, got a first place game for Fox on Thanksgiving Day morning, kickoff at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. And even if we lose and they win, that game on Thursday is for first place, because if the Vikings win that game, they will move into a tie with Detroit. The head-to-head will be split, and the Vikings get the edge because the second tiebreaker is division record. And if the Vikings win that game at that point in time, they would have a better division record than Detroit. So,
but even then, still a ways to go in the season.
And right, still a ways to go. But it's incredible the opportunity the Vikings have here beginning on Sunday with 2 games in 5 days. They can really pivot here off of this 4-game losing streak and start their 7-game season, as Mike Zimmer termed it earlier in the week, off on the right foot with 2 straight wins. But you can't do it if you don't start 1-0. And to do that, the Vikings have to beat the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. And to beat the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, in order to contribute to that, the Vikings offensive line is going to have to step up here, because they have another starting combination up front for the offensive line. Jake Long, who was playing left tackle, goes to the injured reserve after injuring his Achilles last week. And so the Vikings sign a practice squad guy from Jacksonville named Rashad Hill. He is literally from Jacksonville, Florida, was on the Jaguars practice squad by way of Southern Miss University, was undrafted this year, decided to accept the Vikings' offer of promotion from the Jaguars practice squad right here to the Vikings roster. He probably won't be in the starting lineup. There will be a new left tackle, though. Will it be Alex Boone? He's offered to play it. Will it be TJ Clemmings? He started playing it when Matt Khalil got hurt. Where will Jeremiah Searles fit in? He figures to be the next man up. He'll start at right tackle or left tackle, or if Boone starts at left tackle, will Searles be at left guard? So some decisions for the Vikings coaching staff, offensive coaching staff, and Mike Zimmer to make. We'll see what they do. Another change for the Vikings, they made a move at kicker. Blair Walsh out, Kai Forbath is in. Here's what special teams coordinator Mike Prefer had to say about it.
Kai had a really good workout. You know, I followed him over the years, and when he came out, I think he came out in 2012 maybe. He's always had a very smooth approach. He's under control. He's may not have the strongest leg on kickoffs, but he's an effective kickoff guy as well. I thought because of his workout, because of his experience level, I thought he was the best, in my opinion, he was the best option for us. And you know, we all spoke, general manager, and then, of course, the head coach and I, and we all talked about it, and I thought, we thought he was the best option for us.
How big of an advantage is it that Kai has already worked with Jeff and Kevin in college, or how much does that matter?
Yeah, I actually asked those guys yesterday. They never actually worked together. I'm sure they did in practice, but they never worked together in a game, but they do have familiarity with each other because they do work together in the off season. So that's part of it, that they know each other, and that was just, to me, that was a bonus. He was the best one last week, and that just became a bonus for us.
Kai Forbath was with Washington and New Orleans last year, was in a training camp competition in New Orleans for the kicking job, lost out to a younger player. Forbath, a career 84% field goal guy and 97.6% point after touchdown guy in 51 career games. More recently, last year, 10 of 15 on field goals and 33 of 34 on PATs. Would love to see Kai begin his Vikings career with some made kicks on Sunday at US Bank Stadium. Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
Did you know Larry Fitzgerald is from Minnesota?
I hadn't heard that. How crazy is that? So it's a homecoming for him.
It is. This just in, the Wobcast is reporting that Larry Fitzgerald is a Minnesota native. Also, he was a ball boy for the Vikings. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Yep, it's true. We say those things in jest, not out of negativity toward Larry Fitzgerald. We here, Nate and I at the Wobcast, love Larry Fitzgerald and the way he plays the game. Mike Zimmer had mucho respect for Larry during his interview with Paul Allen on Vikings game plan. So if you're not a game plan viewer regularly, make sure you become one beginning this week. Vikings game plan, which always includes an interview with Mike Zimmer, unless we're on a short week. And PA began that interview asking Coach Zimmer what he thinks of Larry Fitzgerald, and Coach Zimmer gave a great answer. So Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's got 60-some receptions so far this season. He's 33 years old, defying the laws of physics in terms of NFL players getting to be the age of 30 and seeing their production fall off. Not happening with Larry Fitzgerald. I would love to see him, Nate, make the Pro Bowl this year, because if he does, it's his 10th career Pro Bowl appearance. That's amazing.
That's crazy. Yep. And it seems like each of the last 5 years, you know, people have said, oh, this is the year he's probably going to fall off. We hear that a lot with Adrian.
Yeah.
Adrian's hurt now, so that kind of throws that argument to the wind. But people think he's just going to fall off, and he keeps putting together these incredible seasons.
You know, and I've explained before on the Wobcast how much I respected Kevin Williams for the way he changed during his career. He evolved so he could stay relevant. Larry Fitzgerald has done that with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians has asked him to play in the slot a lot more than he was used to, and Larry has been doing that very well. Larry is also a very good run blocker, and obviously you pay receivers big money to catch touchdowns. Larry does that. As a benefit, though, Larry is a great physical run blocker, and that certainly helps their running game, especially when you got a back like David Johnson. So we know all about that. George Stewart, our wide receivers coach, has been imploring his receivers to be good run blockers because you have Adrian Peterson in the backfield here when he's healthy. So Larry Fitzgerald, tough player. For my money, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a certain Hall of Famer at some point. I would put him in on the first ballot, but I don't have a vote. So Larry Fitzgerald comes home. Also, Michael Floyd, he was a Vikings All-State team honoree when he was at Creighton-Durham Hall. Larry Fitzgerald was a two-time All-State player, also a prep All-America. Another kind of cool local-slash-college connection, Kyle Rudolph, Harrison Smith, Michael Floyd, and Cardinals tight end Troy Nicholas, who's on the IR, all played at Notre Dame together. So a little bit of a Notre Dame reunion for that crew. The head coaches of both these teams, Nate, waited a long time to get jobs.
They did.
That was the thing with Coach Zimmer, right? The Vikings were finally the team that gives Zimmer a chance. Zimmer waited 20 years for a head coaching job. Bruce Arians waited about the same amount of time. Even though it took them 20 years to get head coaching gigs, these two have been going at it against one another their entire careers. Zim, of course, the defensive-minded head coach. Bruce Arians, very well-respected for his offensive acumen, great play designer and play caller. And they've had many battles during their careers as coordinators or position coaches. Last year, they had a battle as head coaches when the Vikings played at Arizona in Week 14. Their most intense battles, though, came when they were both in the AFC North. Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati from 2008 to 2013. During that time, Bruce Arians was the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. Those two, of course, fierce division rivals. Zimmer defense, Arians offense, they had some good battles. The Bengals-Steelers rivalry is one that even guys like us who are entrenched with the Vikings and maybe a Vikings-Packers rivalry, those Steelers-Bengals games, always fun ones to watch.
It always seems like the score is 13-10.
Yeah, it
does. Something like that. Maybe that's not a ringing endorsement for Bruce Arians on the offensive side, but certainly one for Zimmer. But, you know, those in-division games, as we know with NFC North contests, sometimes you can, you know, not only throw the records out, but also just offensive success.
Yeah.
You can throw that out.
It's funny you mention that, because I have every game that they have gone against each other in the NFL, I have right here listed on a note card that I researched it and wrote down some stats.
It's a lot of research for one note card.
It was, and I did it this morning. But In 2009, there was an 18-12 game. So to your point, Nate, some close. Of those low-scoring yeah. grinders. Zimmer's Bengals won 18-12. Anytime you hold Ben Roethlisberger, Bruce Arians, and the Steelers to 12 points, you've done a good job. And they did that in 2009. But Bruce Arians has gotten his in this rivalry, too. In fact, he's won more games than Zimmer has when they've gone head-to-head. But we want to change that this week. We want Zimmer to come out on top, so hopefully he will. All right.
Question of the week.
You got one?
I do.
Okay.
Can Stephon Diggs do it again?
What do you mean?
It meaning, can he have 13 catches again? Might be a bit unrealistic to think so, but I mean, he's done it 2 weeks straight. Right. So who am I to tell him that he can't have 13 catches again?
Why bet against it, I guess? What's notable about having 13 catches in back-to-back games?
I reckon probably not too many players have done that before.
Only one, Stephon Diggs.
Wow.
Not even Jerry Rice did it.
Well, there you go. You heard it here.
Yeah. So can he do it again? Oh, boy, that's going to be tough. He is really good at home. I will say that. But he's going to draw Patrick Peterson this week.
Yeah, and you heard Bruce Arians suggest as much in his press conference.
So was he saying that in jest, or is it really going to happen? We won't find out till Sunday.
Either way, it's... their defense is nothing to slouch about, so it's going to be a tough test whether
you're right about
on
that.
Him all the time or not.
You're right about that. In fact, Nate, I wasn't
be grabbing one of your other note cards.
Yeah, I got another sheet of paper here that tells me the Arizona Cardinals ranked number 2 in the NFL in opponent passer rating, 71.2, and number 3 in opponent completion percentage at 58. So their passing defense, you're right, is very good. Nothing to spit at, and the Vikings are right with the Cardinals. They rank one behind Arizona in each of those categories. Arizona is 3rd in passer rating allowed. The Vikings are 4th. Arizona is 4th in opponent completion percentage allowed. Arizona's 3rd. The Vikings are 4th. So two very good pass defenses in this game. But Patrick Peterson, Stephon Diggs, awesome matchup to watch. The NFL is a matchup league, and this is an example of that. I will not be surprised if you see Stephon Diggs operating out of the slot a lot in this game to make Patrick Peterson have to go against a receiver that has a two-way go from the slot. You're not able to use the boundary as help and leverage if you're the defender. And I will not be surprised to see a lot of things you can do to help a receiver get off of press coverage, stack formations, motions, bunch formations. Could see some of that as well. Patrick Peterson, very good player. The best way to beat Patrick Peterson is to put a big receiver on him or to have a big receiver that he has to guard. The Vikings, though, with Stephon Diggs, is not a big receiver. He's a shiftier receiver, really good route runner. So going to be a really fun matchup to watch.
Three threats. Uh-huh. We're going to switch over to the offensive side of the ball for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at their running back, David Johnson, one of the best running backs in the league already in his second year, right?
Yeah, he is in his second year out of the University of Northern Iowa. He's good at everything, pretty much. He can do it all. Between the tackles, runner, can bounce it outside, can run off tackle, can catch the ball, can block, can line up as a receiver or in the slot. You can motion, you can shift. He can do it all. In fact, on Vikings game plan this week, we had Pete Bursich breaking down a lot of David Johnson plays and a lot of the ways that Bruce Arians designs plays to get David Johnson the ball. So make sure you check that out. Educate yourself with a former NFL coach and player breaking down film on Vikings game plan. You can catch it on TV or on Vikings.com. It should be posted any time now. But yeah, David Johnson, he's good.
And I think it was last year when we played them was his first real game that he started, like,
okay,
beginning to end. Like, yeah, he was the guy at running back. So
it worked out for him.
It did. I think he's barely, but it did.
I think he's got 9 or 10 straight games with 100 scrimmage yards. So
that's not bad.
That means you know how to play football.
That's true.
Yeah.
Chandler Jones on the other side of the football.
Yeah. Yikes.
The name gives shivers down your spine.
It should. If you remember the 2014 game the Vikings had against the Patriots at TCF Bank Stadium, Chandler Jones had 2 sacks and a blocked field goal, so that was diseased. We went up 7-0 on a Matt Asiata touchdown catch, and we thought we were in business against the Patriots, and Chandler Jones ruined the game. Patriots traded him to Arizona last year, and Chandler Jones has just kept on ticking. Really good player, and particularly a big challenge for the Vikings because we're going to have a new left tackle. Whether it's Boone or Clemmings or Searles, It's going to be a new player out there at left tackle, and that's where Chandler Jones lines up. So got to buckle your chin strap over there at left tackle, whoever it is.
That's right. The third threat we mentioned earlier, Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
Hasn't had his best season ever, but he's coming off a 100-yard receiving effort last mm-hmm. week. Looks like he might be back to his old ways.
Yeah, and he had 100 yards and a touchdown against us last year. So obviously Bruce Arians found a way to get Floyd involved, and I know a few things are different for us this time around than they were last time. We were missing some key players on defense, and we may be missing a few key players this week too, but Bruce Arians found a way to get Michael Floyd the ball last year. You can be sure he'll try and do the same this year.
Fan mail.
Mm-hmm.
First question.
By the way, I'm very impressed with the fan emails in this week's Wobcast.
A lot of good
questions.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's get to a few of them. Can you explain what it means for an offense to have an identity and in what way it helps the players bring out the best in each of them? Is it a mental state or is it based on talent?
Cool question.
Thank you, Lupe, for the cool mm-hmm. question.
Lupe from South Texas with a good question, kicking off the fan mail segment. I think it is a product of how a team physically plays on the field, but I think the bigger benefit is the mental part of it, where if you're the Dallas Cowboys, for example, on offense, your identity is a big, mean, athletic offensive line. And I think when that's your identity, you go out with a supreme amount of confidence. I think the St. Louis Rams back in the early 2000s, or late 90s, the greatest show on turf, I think that they went out onto the field. Their identity was a high-flying, high-scoring passing attack that gave them confidence. I think if you have, offensively or defensively, something that you do really well consistently, that's your identity, your brand of football. And I think when you can do it consistently, it increases your confidence level. So it's a combo of both. For the Vikings defense, I think it is a lot of it is like that double A gap thing that Zimmer kind of invented. They call him the godfather of the double A gap blitz. I think for the Vikings, their identity is they make it tough on quarterbacks with pressure. Even though the Vikings sack numbers have gone down the last few games, they have been pressuring the quarterback, and opponents are not able to pass the ball like you think they would be able to because of that. So that might be the Vikings' identity on offense, on defense. Offensively, I think we're still waiting to see what Pat Shurmur makes it. I think, so far it's kind of been the quick game with Stephon Diggs, but I don't know that that's the identity yet because we need to see more of it.
James wants to know how the waiver wire works.
Mm-hmm.
He prefaced the question by asking about Christian Michael.
Yes.
Just cut by Seattle and picked up by the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. The way the waiver wire works is once you get rolling in the regular season, the teams with the worst records have priority. So you basically just look at the overall standings, just like it would work for a lot of you in your fantasy football leagues. The waiver wire, the team with the worst record has the highest priority, the team with the best record has the lowest priority, and that's the order it goes when you look at players who are waived. Now, before the trade deadline, which is week 6, before that, if a player is waived and he's got 3 seasons or fewer of credit, he has to go through waivers, which means he gets waived by his team, and for 24 hours, he is subject to that priority. But after the trade deadline, even if you have more than 3 seasons, everyone has to go through the waiver process. So I don't know if Christian Michael has more than 3 seasons of accrued credit, but even if he did, he had to go through waivers because he was waived after the trade deadline. So the Packers claimed him. That means any team that had a better record than Green Bay, including the Vikings, even if they put a claim in on Michael, they weren't going to get him. The Packers got him because they were the team that had the highest priority and that claimed him.
That was a good explanation.
So I try
to feel like I understand it.
Okay, good. Trying to keep it simple. So worst to first in priority when it comes to waivers, and after the trade deadline, everyone has to go through waivers.
So if you want to claim other teams' cut players,
right,
you got to be bad.
Right. If you're a really good team, you got a low probability of getting one of those players. And the NFL is trying to create parity, right? Trying to give the teams who are struggling as many opportunities as possible to improve.
Final questions from Andy. Didn't Taylor Heinicke use up our designated for return tag,
mm-hmm.
in air quotes, when he came back last week, or did that not count since it was a non-football injury? you're right. Lots of insightful questions. Work is good. Questions.
Yeah.
Good job, Vikings fans.
Yeah. Taylor came off of the non-football injury list. So that's a reserve list. But when you come off of that list, it's not the injured reserve list. It's the non-football injury list. So two different reserve lists. So when he came off of it, the Vikings did not have to use their designated for return tag on him. They could just put him on the active roster. All they had to do was waive another player to create room on the 53. They waived Mykole Pruitt to make room for him. Heinicke on the active roster. No one claimed Pruitt, so then the Vikings put him on their practice squad. The designated for return tag is only for injured reserve players, of which the Vikings have several. But remember, just putting the tag on a guy doesn't magically make him healthy. He's got to be healthy enough to come back, and then you can put that tag on him, and each team gets just one tag per year.
Insightful questions from Vikings fans.
I loved
insightful
it.
Answers from you, Wobby.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Over-unders to wrap this thing up.
Not speaking of insightful, me doing over-unders.
Yeah.
Right.
You're struggling a little bit, but that's all right. It's a clean slate.
All right, good.
Let's do well this week. Kai Forbath, speaking of clean slate.
Yeah.
This first game is a Minnesota Viking. Field goals for Kai Forbath in this contest, 1.5, over or under?
Over for me. I think this is a field goal type of game. Both defenses really good. Offense is good enough to grind out possessions and maybe cross midfield, but defense is good enough to halt it. I think this is a big game for both kickers. And I know that can be a little anxiety-filled for the Vikings and Vikings fans since their kicker is new. But Kai Forbath is new, but he's not inexperienced. He's got experience, 51 games. So I'm over on this. He's going to get opportunities. He's going to be inside. And I have confidence in him. So I'm over.
One of the threats we went over in three threats, David Johnson. You mentioned he has, every game this season at least, he's had over 100 total yards from scrimmage. That's rushing and receiving. So if we put the over-under at 99.5, would he have over or under 100, basically, total yards from scrimmage in this game?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Under.
Whoa. Why?
The streak is going to be snapped because I have to think that he is the man that Mike Zimmer has identified as the top threat. And when Mike Zimmer does that to you, you're gone.
Yeah.
And so David Johnson is good enough to overcome that. He's a great player, maybe the best overall running back in the NFL. He's good enough to overcome that. But there's too much equity built up by Mike Zimmer in this season for me to go against this trend. Mike Zimmer shuts down your number one option. Sometimes you are resourceful enough to use your secondary options to beat the Vikings. Teams have done that four straight times. But I don't think it's going to be David Johnson that beats the Vikings. Just my hunch.
Finally, Stephon Diggs receptions. We joked about it earlier. Over or under 12.5 receptions for Diggs.
All right. Well, just to prove that I'm not like totally in la-la land Vikings homerish on these over-unders, I'm going to go under on this. Under 12.5. This, you're giving me a layup, I feel like. Although, I would love to be wrong about this. Love it. Absolutely love to be wrong about this. But I'm going to go under on that.
All right. That's okay. All we got.
Let's go. This Wobcast is over. Hey, everyone. If you haven't downloaded the Vikings app, make sure you do it. Something that I just discovered recently that didn't work before. You can have the Wobcast on and playing in the background now if you're using the Vikings app. It used to be where if you closed down the app that the audio would go away. Doesn't happen anymore. Cool new feature of the Vikings app. Many more cool features on the Vikings app to enjoy. So if you haven't downloaded it and you're only listening to this on iTunes or Vikings.com, download the Vikings app. You can catch the Wobcast, Skull Stories, Pick 6, everything else that we do here at Vikings.com on the Vikings app. That's it. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw. We got to go. Good luck on Sunday. Talk to you all next week.